This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. Thanks for joining. The nation is once again reeling this morning as we learn about the latest mass shooting at a popular ballroom in Monterey Park, California. On Saturday night in California, a 72-year-old man shot and killed 10 people at a location that is popular with older Chinese Americans who were there celebrating the Chinese New Year. While we don't know what the motives were, the shooting again highlights concerns about the increase of gun violence here in our country. To help unpack the question and the situation, we are joined by someone who thinks a lot about these things. Stephanie Hartwell is a dean of the College of Liberal Arts at Wayne State University and dean of the professor of sociology and an adjunct professor of psychiatry. Stephanie Hartwell, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Good morning.
Yeah. So let's start with the particulars here. Yet another mass shooting. We talk on the show a lot about the growing violence, the growing gun violence that we're enduring in this country. Give me your reaction to what we saw Saturday in California.
Yeah. So, you know, as I mentioned to you earlier, I didn't even read the particulars because I was just disgusted. For me, it's not an if this will happen again. It's when and where and why. You know, just some framework for it. 100 people die a day in the United States due to gun violence. It's 25 times higher than any other high income country. It's become more of a norm and it's a bit out of control. And we've developed quite a reputation as a nation for gun violence and mass homicide.
Yeah.
So my reaction wasn't one of shock. It was one of disgust. And sadly, the community, the culture of that particular community, older Asian American adults, it is shocking in that community because gun violence is relatively unheard of in China. And 10 people were killed, but many others were injured. And we always forget about the cost of those injuries
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm. We don't know the motive, but we do know the circumstances. And this is a man who shoots into a crowd of Asian Americans on the day that the Chinese are celebrating their New Year. It seems to me that this fits then not just into the world of our concerns about gun violence, but also about the nexus with the ethnic hatred and resentment that is also seems to be growing in our country. And that's a really, really deadly combination.
Yeah. And some of my work is starting to look at, and I was just talking about this with my research group on Friday, what happens to communities broad-based when gun violence is a norm, right? It provides an outlet for extremists. It's sort of our way, American extremism, right? And this individual was an outsider, felt like an outsider. And because that technology, he had access to that particular technology, that level of anger, the access to technology leads to motive in some sense, and then an outcome and an act. And so that's the concern is why we have this issue with guns. It's impacting communities. It's fraying communities. And where those fault lines in communities, then there's access to guns. So it's almost chicken, an egg argument, like what comes first. And I would argue that some of the issues and some of the anger that we have out in our cultural communities is the result of these hate acts.
Every time that we see something like this happen, I feel like we go down a pretty familiar path. We start to talk a little about gun regulations and whether they could make a difference. We start to talk about these rising ethnic tensions, and then we kind of end up in the same space, which is back where we started. It seems where things are unchanged. I want to give you a chance to talk just a little bit about things that you think are possible. Within our grasp, even, that would make these kinds of things look differently. I mean, this is a very free society. It is free with lots of things that aren't free in other countries, and one of those is the access to guns. But I feel like that's not the only point of leverage that we have here. It's one, but I want to have you just talk about what do we do when something like this happens if we really were committed to the idea of slowing or stopping these things from happening as much as they do.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, you could take, there's two ends, I think. On the one hand, you could take a public health approach of education and prevention and talking about those larger issues and gun violence as a public health problem and teach about the epidemiology of the problem and the disease. But the other hand is using our wonderful skill sets in technology. I mean, technology created guns. It created the clips that you can kill multiple people in a short period of time. So we can use technology in other ways to create more safety around gun use and access too. So there's other, you know, I talked about this the last time I was on. There's other, we have access to other weapons of mass destruction. I was talking a little bit about cars. When you learn to drive a car, you go through this extensive educational period. You have to have testing and you have to go back and drive more and have more testing. And then if you mess up after you get your license, you have to go back for more education. Mm-hmm. You know, we could set up a program around education, and that's sort of the public health approach, that to gun ownership is not a right, it's a privilege, and you have to do X, Y, and Z. And if you found to not do X, Y, and Z, then the consequences are, you know, this other set of activities. We just sort of end up like throwing our hands up and saying we can't fix this problem because, you know, we can't control it. But I find that hard to believe. We have ways of regulating. We live in a free society, but we have ways of regulating everything and using our smartness. You know, we have a wonderful higher education system that does research in these areas to think our way out of the problem and really listening to experts on the problem. You know, at Wayne, we have experts in gun violence engineers that are experts in ballistics. We have experts that work with the NRA and other areas that, you know, look at gun violence and different types of programs and try to figure out what works. There's not one solution, but you've got to go at this hard and you got to understand that it's become enmeshed in our culture and people believe it's a right to own a gun, not a privilege. But I think that's when you see the carnage and you line us up against other countries and you see how it's impacting our communities, that's simply not true. Mm. You know, one thing I heard recently is folks from other countries do not want to come to the United States to get an education because their families are worried about gun violence in the United States. Yeah. I mean, what a terrible reputation to have. And it's shocking how other people view us, and they view us on this particular issue. And so we need to really think hard about coming up with some solutions and ideas around how to control this problem.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking with Stephanie Hartwell, who is the dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences and a professor of sociology at Wayne State University. We're talking about this latest mass shooting in our country in Monterey Park, California, a 72-year-old man who shoots and kills 10 people at a location that is popular with older Asian Americans. Saturday, when this happened, was the Chinese New Year. People were out celebrating, and the 72-year-old man disrupted that celebration with gunfire. Would love to hear from you, our listeners, during the conversation as well about your reactions to what happened and, of course, your ideas or solution. How do we get away from the kind of merry-go-round of incidents like this in our country where we're just always, I think, waiting for what is the day when the next one will happen? How do we change that? How do we move in a different direction? And who's the person who steps forward to be able to lead us in that direction? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation that way. I know that, Stephanie, your a lot of your work is about the effect of this kind of violence on communities. And you mentioned earlier about how we kind of forget that it's not just the people who are killed, but also the people who are injured. in these incidents who need attention and who are victims. But there is also a broader societal impact that you've talked about before, and the way in which this changes the way we live our lives mm-hmm. normally. I want to give you a chance to talk about that as well.
Yeah, I think it's a wicked problem. So we have these problems in 21st century America that are called wicked problems. Climate change is one of them. Gun violence is one in my mind because of the complexity of it. But how the complexity is related to the way we live our lives and our norms. So, you know, when you go out in public now, you know, people think about where's the exit. You know, when my kids go to concerts, I tell them, you know, wear sneakers, get down, run. These are norms of my mothering. I think, you know, if you look at how schools are set up now and the debates around metal detectors and school safety officers, and it's just changed the norms of, it's such a powerful technology. Guns are such a powerful technology that it changes how we live our lives. And what I've seen in neighborhoods where there's lots of gun violence and guns is there's a fear and there's a distrust, constantly being vigilant, on high alert. And that constant vigilance and high alert, it impacts people's nervous systems and impacts the way they react and think and ultimately their health. Because they're uptight and nervous and worried all the time because there's this unknown threat.
Mm-hmm.
The injury piece is huge. We always talk about the death, but the injury piece is 2 times the rate of death. And being maimed by a gun, you can no longer go to work. You can no longer take care of your family. The costs at the emergency room are high. You know, these types of outcomes are ones we don't often think are on the periphery of what happens with this acute gun violence, but then it becomes a chronic problem. So, you know, with guns floating around in particular neighborhoods, the neighborhoods become dysfunctional. But then if, you know, I think of schools that have had school shootings and how those communities move forward past the school shootings. And you know, Sandy Hook was 20 years ago, I believe. And that town, you know, still is struggling to recover from that particular incident. I think these communities never fully recover and are forever changed.
Yeah. That's also especially true with young people and with schools, where we see some of these shootings and the effect on young developing minds of being part of mm-hmm. something like this. Right here mm-hmm. in Michigan and at Oxford High School, it's really interesting to watch and to talk to people in that community over time about the effect on these children of mm-hmm. just having been in the building where something like this happened and seen their classmates, their friends be victims. I mean, it really is traumatizing.
Horrible.
is almost not powerful enough of a word.
No, it's horrible. It's almost like being a combat veteran in a theater of combat, that you thought you were in a safe place. You don't trust your world anymore. The level of trauma is acute and immense. So, you know, people are talking quite often now about the pandemic and how the adolescents more or less are having higher rates of anxiety and depression. And that was sort of a chronic event, the pandemic. Now, you're in school and you see a gunman come in and it's just shooting people, and the outcome of that changes your life forever. And you know, it's not to say that individuals aren't going to go on and do amazing, great things, but there's this constant thing in the back of one's mind. The way you see the world is forever changed. And it's just horrible, horrible trauma. And my heart goes out to those students in Oxford and any students in any school districts, you know, where this has happened. When you read about Parkland, when you read about the other places that there's school shootings, it's just terrible.
Yeah. And the call, I think, to us to fix that is even more urgent. I mean, what happened in Monterey Park, of course, is terribly, terribly urgent. But even more urgent is this idea that young people start off their young lives really with this kind of tragedy to have to cope with.
Yeah, and it goes back in again to access to guns and responsible gun ownership. It's not a right; it's a privilege, and you know, to have a weapon of mass destruction in one's home and to be able to own it. I think that we need to think a lot about gun locks. I think we need to think about gun sales. I think we need to think about gun production and the safety features on guns. I think we need to think about licensing and responsible ownership and also waiting periods for sales. You know, all the things that have already been talked about, and then we seem to double down when there's another incident. Well, we're going to go back to the drawing board and talk about these things. But folks really need to think about the larger term. This is going to start to affect the bottom line of the country financially because it is such a wide-scale issue. And I think that folks aren't thinking about, 100 people die a day. Many of those, about 60% of those are suicides, but 40% is a pretty significant number of homicides.
Yeah,
but then 200 people, twice that, are injured, you know? And then we've, on top of that, we have these massive events, you know, where 10 people are killed at once. This is crazy that we're even talking about this in a world that we believe so much in freedom. And so really what we're living in is a highly vigilant society where we're all scared all the time of being out in public.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is incredibly concerning. And like I said, when I do a deep dive into some neighborhoods that I do my work, it really impacts the safety and the feelings in those neighborhoods.
Yeah. Stephanie Hartwell, always great to have you here with us on Detroit Today. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day.
Going to do it for us today. Tune in tomorrow when we're going to take a look at what it means to be a Detroiter. Who exactly is a Detroiter? And why do we care so much about that question? This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.